Blog Talk Radio.
Good day to all of you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever it is, time that you're listening to this this class. My name is Priest Nagaya, Brother Nagaya, and it's good to be back. Had to take care of some personal business last week. But we're back at it, getting ready to grind through another week of it. I hope it's been well for all of you. Things have gone pretty well for me, and I hope that's for everyone. All of you are minding your business, getting through life decently, and hanging in there. Always remember when we all go through hard times, and we all have challenges and difficulties in our lives, just know that you're not alone and that you can deal with the circumstances that you're faced with. Sometimes it's a matter of taking a moment to stop and take a deep breath and look things over. Sometimes it's a matter of finding that person that you're close to and just letting them hear you out, getting some good advice, taking the time to make sure you send up prayers to the Most High and asking for His guidance and understanding so that you can deal with the situations that you're faced with on a day-to-day basis. But whatever you do, hang in there. Don't give up. So, we were in 2 Samuel. Last class, which was 2 weeks ago, we went through chapters 12 through 14. And we ended up, the story was that Absalom had murdered his, what we call today, half-brother, and had taken off because he knew his father David would be upset. Well, he was gone for a couple years, and Joab could tell that Joab, who was the top captain, the top general of David's army, and also a confidant, an advisor to King David, he could tell that David was missed Absalom. And so he set up a situation where a woman came and posed as though she was from another land, etc. And basically it was Joab had arranged for David to be put in a situation where he had to think about and contemplate the idea of the fact that his son was now in exile with another nation, and it was time for him to send for his son and bring him home. And so David did bring Absalom home. He sent an envoy, spokespeople, to go to Absalom and to bring him home. But when Absalom came, David said, "Now go send him to his house. I don't want to see him right away." So he did, he sent Absalom to his home. So David did not see Absalom face to face. And so Absalom went home. And if you think about it, in life, sometimes when you have a disagreement with someone, something happens and there's tension in the household. And sometimes it's a situation where a parent will say, "Well, you know what, right now, just go to your room, child, because I don't want to see you right now." That doesn't mean that you hate the person or that you never want to see them again. It's just the circumstance was awkward, because keep in mind that Absalom did kill one of David's other children. So, of course, David mourns the loss of one child, but he also misses the other child. But it's still a very awkward situation. Although Absalom was acting, what he did was very impulsive, but the Most High made laws about that, because essentially, you know, Absalom had, one second, let me get it all together here, because Absalom had killed his half-brother, Amnon is what it was. Amnon, keep in mind that Absalom had a sister, Tamar, and Amnon was their half-brother. They all had the same father. David was their father, but Amnon had a different mother. The problem was that Amnon desired Tamar, his half-sister. He wanted her. He was lusting after her. He allowed this desire, his attraction to her, he allowed it to fester. And instead of cutting it off and moving on and resisting that temptation, he built upon it. And what didn't help is that his best friend, who was the son of one of David's advisors, had said to him, hey, you know, you can. He had set up the situation. It was kind of in his ear in a negative way. He was in his ear in a very negative way. Jonadab was Amnon's friend, and he was David's nephew. He was the son of Shimeah, who was David's brother. And so you have these, you see, when you read the scriptures, you find that there's a lot of treachery that takes place as we're reading this. And if you've been following my classes the last few months, then you know we've read in Judges, we've read in, First and Second Samuel, all the different sneaky, sly, evil, negative things that people were doing to one another, lying, cheating, stealing, assaulting, just all types of negative things. Now, we read it, and obviously my purpose is in reading this is certainly not to promote it, because we even read a few weeks ago, we even read how David committed adultery with Bathsheba. So even David himself did. So, but it's not to promote any of these things. But what it is to show you that, yes, these people lived lives as we live our life. They get up every day, and they had to deal with all the daily things that you have to deal with. Just as in today's world, you get up in the morning, and you say, okay, I got to go out here and face the day, and people are going to try and take advantage of me, cheat me. They're going to try and steal from me. They're going to lie to me. You know, these things are part of it, but that's not all that you'll find. But these are part of the things that we all have to face every day. It doesn't matter what you do all day. Whether you're a stay-at-home parent, whether you're single, whether you have a job, whether you have three jobs, whether you're going to school, we all face these things. Well, guess what? They faced them in the past as well. What we're reading about happened several thousand years ago, but they still faced it. When you think about it, in today's society, we look at these shows like Mari Povich, You Are Not the Father, or we look at these shows, Cheaters, and to catch a criminal and To Catch a Thief, and just the Cold Case, and the First 48, and we see these TV shows and these reality shows and these dramas where, oh well, this guy loved his half sister, and he went after her, yeah, and then after he got her, after he laid with her, and forced her. After he forced himself upon his half-sister, and once the deed was done, he hated her. He despised her, so he kicked her out. And then her brother killed him. Her brother waited a couple of years and then wound up killing him. I mean, that sounds like the kind of stuff that happens in today's society. You might hear that on the 6 o'clock news tonight. That's the kind of stuff that Dateline talks about. But the reality of it is that's the stuff that was happening amongst David's own children. And so we have to understand that the things we go through today, it's nothing new. That's why the scripture says there's nothing new under the sun. And so my purpose in us reading those aspects of it is to get an understanding of, one, okay, these are things that we need to avoid. It's not new. You haven't come up with some new temptation. It's something that you need to avoid. And we can see how those who were successful and who the Most High worked with, how did they deal with it? And how did those people who were not successful and what the Most High did with them, how did they deal with it? Because I want to avoid those people, and I want to imitate the people who are successful. We're all human, and we're all subject to the same faults and shortcomings, the same vices as they were in the past. So it's not a matter of, well, I don't have any faults. We all have faults. But it's a matter of, how do I deal with my faults? And what steps do I take to try and improve those faults and remove them from my life so that I can be a better person, and how I can do better in my behavior, in my conduct, and in my life? And so that's what's important, and that's what we have to really look at. And really, you know, that we really need to take a look at so that we have a better understanding of how we can be better people. And that's why we read this. So what happened last time as we read it is that David's children had this situation going on. Absalom killed Amnon. For sexually assaulting, basically, he raped Absalom's sister, Tamar, and then threw her out in the street. And so, a couple years later, because Absalom took off after he killed his half brother, he took off. And so, while he's in exile, it's been a couple years. David calls him back. Stuff is kind of tense. David's not ready to actually physically see him. So David tells Joab, take him to his own house, and I'll see him at some other point. So Abner went to his house. Well, Abner was there for a while. Absalom. So Joab takes Absalom, sends him to his house. Absalom's at his home, and he's just there waiting. And so after some time, Absalom was like, well, when am I going to see my dad? So he sends messengers to Joab, and Joab didn't respond. So he sent messengers again, and Joab never responded. And so Absalom, now keep in mind, Absalom is definitely sort of impatient, and he comes across as being impatient and selfish. He expects things to go the way he wants them to go in the time frame he wants them to. And so Absalom sent word a second time to Joab, and Joab didn't respond. As a result, where Absalom lived, Joab had some fields nearby. I think they bordered each other's properties, but Joab had fields nearby where he grew crops. I think it was barley, I believe. Absalom had his servants go out and burn Joab's fields. Well, of course, that got his attention. It's like, you burning my crops. What are you doing? And so Joab shows up and confronts Absalom, like, why did you burn my crops? What are you doing? And Absalom basically said, well, listen, I sent messengers to you, and you didn't respond, so I wanted to get your attention. Now, when we look at it, that is not the appropriate way to get someone's attention. That shows signs of selfishness, ego, maybe even narcissism. And so Joab wanted to get hold of, Absalom wanted to get hold of Joab. But the way he went about it was inappropriate. Yes, Joab could have answered him. The scriptures really don't designate whether or not he was super busy or he was just ignoring Absalom, or he just felt like he didn't have time to be dealing with Absalom, don't know. But we do know is that Joab did not answer Absalom, and so Absalom became impatient, said, well, if you ain't going to answer me on two occasions, then I'm just going to burn your fields. It's pretty extreme to get someone's attention. It's pretty extreme. And so basically Joab was there, but he was Joab was like, look, I don't know, what do you want from me? And Joab was like, well, it would have been better if you just left me where I was. And so Joab finally went to King David and talked to him. Like, look, you need to talk to Absalom. He probably said, look, Absalom's down there tripping. He burned my fields. You know, you need to talk to him. And so King David sent for Joab and had an audience with Joab. And so they reconciled. Okay. So here we are, all caught up, and we're in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 1. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I had to travel last week, and getting back to home where there really weren't allergies where I was, or I didn't have allergies. Now I'm back, and it's just like all that stuff decided to catch up with me. It's like, you've been gone, so we're going to make up for lost time. Excuse me. 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. So Absalom's got this huge entourage now. He got 50 men who are running before the chariot. He's got himself horses and chariots. Verse 2, and Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And so it was when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. So Absalom got a chariot and went out with his men in front of him in the chariot and went out to the gate, the gates of the city. Now, keep in mind back then that when they had cities, the cities would have walls around them for protection, and they had gates that could be closed. And that was for protection in case they were invaded, then they could you know, stay inside the fortress of the city. The city was inside a fortress for protection. So then he would stay. So Absalom went out to the gate, and when someone was coming, when somebody had an issue or any controversy, he'd say, where are you from? And they say, we're from the tribe, one of the tribes of Israel. Verse 3, and Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. So basically, Absalom went out to the gate of the city. And when someone came who had an issue and needed to see King David, he would pull him to the side first and say, where are you from? And if the person said, well, I'm of the tribe of Israel, one of the tribes of Israel, then Absalom would say, you know, I know you have a legitimate issue. And unfortunately, the king doesn't have any deputy, someone specialized or appointed to help take care of these matters. But if I had the power, I would make sure you got justice. And so with that, he was using some slick talk like a politician. Then all of a sudden, and that he started to gain favor. He became popular amongst the people to the point that when someone came to him, they would bow down to him physically. And as they bowed, he'd put out his hand and they'd kiss the ring, essentially is what they were doing. And so that's the way that he started to steal away the hearts of the people. The people started to think fondly, much more fondly of Absalom than of David. Verse 7, and it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode in Geshur in Syria. Saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. And the king said unto him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. So Absalom came to David and said, listen, let me go up to Hebron Because back then, if you were part of the king's household, and it didn't mean just his children, but if you were appointed by the king to live with him in his household, you couldn't just take off. You had to have permission to leave. You were a house guest, but you needed permission to just take off and leave. And so Absalom came to King David and said, listen, when I was in exile after I killed my half-brother, I prayed to the Lord saying that if I can make it back home, then I will be a good servant. And so he's saying, let me go and fulfill that promise. Now, keep in mind that this is a lie, and we'll read further down to see that Absalom was just being slick. 2 Samuel chapter 15 and 10. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. Now, keep in mind when it says these 200 men were going with him, they didn't know his plan. They didn't know that he was doing some devious stuff, that he was trying to be slick and get away with something. Okay, in their ignorance, they did not know this, or their simplicity, as the scriptures use, the term they use. 2 Samuel 15, 11. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, where he officiated sacrifices, where he offered sacrifices. So see, now Absalom's even calling for David's own counselors. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. So when they came and they told David, hey, the people are with Absalom, he called the servants and said, get it packed up, let's get out of here now. We got to get out of Dodge. Otherwise, Absalom's going to come up on us and we're going to be in trouble. And the sad part is, you see, as I was talking about earlier, about how, you know, you see these shows that are, you hear these things from people that are, you know, all the daily life and daily drama stuff. Well, this is a son who's coming up against his father. So it just shows you that this is not, stuff going on today did go on in the past. Because Absalom had no reason to do something like that. No reason whatsoever. But we continue on. 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 15. And the king's servants said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. So he left his 10 concubines, or he left 10 of his concubines there at the house to physically keep the house, to take care of it. Because if they left it, they abandoned it, no one would be living there. And abandoned houses actually deteriorate faster than ones that are taken care of. So he left his 10 concubines there to take care of the household while they were all gone. Verse 18, and all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites and all the Pelethites and all the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. So see, King Ittai, the Gittite, they were Philistines. They weren't even Israelites. And so that's why he was saying, listen, what are you doing here? Go on back to your land because you're a stranger. You're not part of this. But it shows you how even they wanted to be down with David. They wanted to be around and down with David. And they were sincere about it because when he was on the run, they showed up. They were like, no, we're going with you. We're not going to leave you out here on your own. We're not going to leave you out here hanging. So it shows you that even another nation wanted to hang with David. They followed along with everybody else. And that was an opportunity for them to say, okay, we'll go back to our land. We ain't going to get in the middle of this. But they were like, no, we're down for the cause. Verse 20. And David was still talking. He said, whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? And he said, because you just got here, and so should I make you run around and deal with all this? You just got here. Because there yet, seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. So David was like, man, go on back to your people and go in mercy and peace. See, and David even wished him mercy and truth be with thee. That's what David said to Ittai, the king of the Gittites. Verse 21, and Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. So Ittai told him, as the Lord liveth, wherever you are, that's where I'm going to be. Now, the reason I read that is to show you how David even had positive communications, even friendships, trade agreements, all types of agreements and friendships and bonds with kings of other nations around him. He even had folks that were all around him. He had bonds and connections, and he was networking. He had networked and was shown love from other nations. Verse 22. And David said to Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. The little ones meaning the children. He had all kinds of, they were the men, the families he had brought. Because he'd come down, they were peace times, and he was coming to visit David. And so they all left. For 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And lo, Zadok also, and all the Levites were with him, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God. And they set down the Ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the Ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. So even the Levites came out. You have to understand that this was, if you've ever watched shows that are medieval or with knights, and you'll see them going out to war, or, you know, and they're marching down the city streets, and the people are cheering, and it's, so in this case, the people were crying because David's leaving, because Absalom is about to perform a coup. He's going to do an attempted coup is what's going to happen. And so it's a sad occasion. Well, even the Levites came out, and they brought the ark out. And David told them, take the ark back to the city. If it's the Most High's will, if he's pleased with me, then he'll bring me back here. He'll say, I'm pleased with you, and he'll bring me back. But if the Most High is not pleased with me, let him do what he sees best, what he feels is the right, proper judgment for me. 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 27. The king said also unto Zadok the priest, art not thou a seer? Return to the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz, thy son, and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me. So he said, I'm going to leave out here until you come, you send messenger to me, messenger or messengers to me, letting me know that things have calmed down. Otherwise, I'm going to be out in the wilderness so that they can't mess with me. Because keep in mind that David wasn't just going out with his troops. You know, they have all kinds of folks that were following. Verse 29, Zadok, therefore, and Abiathar carried the ark of God again to Jerusalem, and they tarried there. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. As one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head, unto whom David said, if thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. So David was telling him, so he came, basically it came to pass when he was there, Hushai the Archite came to meet David. And he was mourning the fact that David was leaving. He had been run up out of the city. And so David said to him, look, if you want to be helped, if you come to me, you're just going to be a burden. But if you want to help, go back and say to Absalom, look, Absalom, I was your father's servant. Now that you're here, I'll be your servant, and I'll be a good servant. And David was saying, that's the best way that you can help me. Verse 35, and hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abiathar, the priests? Therefore it shall be that what things soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar, the priests. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them ye shall send unto me everything that ye can hear. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. So David's setting up this little network of spies, basically, getting people to listen in and find out what's going on and then send word to him so that he knows what's going on. So you see, this is how he's setting up a spy network on his way on retreat from Jerusalem. And at the end of that, you see into that chapter, Absalom came into the city as well. So it was just a matter of time. He was on his way, and that's why David rushed his servants and said, look, we got to get out of here, because otherwise we're going to get captured and possibly killed by Absalom. I shouldn't say possibly. There was no possibility he was going to have to do it, because he knew David wouldn't stand for that. So you can see where David's using strategy. Even in the midst of retreating, he's still setting up. He's setting up things, putting things in place so that when the time is right, he'll make the move, come back to the city if the Most High allows him. We're in 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 1. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that is such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, and where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem, for he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Because keep in mind, Mephibosheth was Jonathan's son, and David he was Saul's son, but David didn't want him killed. And so he had been with his servant, but he went to Jerusalem. He said, well, where's your master? King servant. The servant said he went to Jerusalem because he thinks that when Absalom takes over the city, that he's going to have his father's lands restored. Verse 4. Then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertaineth unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. And he came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. And the Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And, behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? So what happened was he came out and he was cursing David, literally, using foul language and sending curses. And he was throwing rocks at him. And that's when Abishai was like, man, why are you letting this fool do this? Let me go over there and cut his head off. But David said, man, let him curse. You don't know if the Most High might have told him, might have given that spirit on him. He said, go out and curse David. But you see, one thing David didn't do was get upset, retaliate, respond. He kept on about his business. He kept on about his business. And that's what one of the things that we have to look at in our daily lives is, you know, we are quick, because we live in a society, and we're quick to want to respond to things. We're quick to want to, rebuttal, because they've offended us. Somebody hurt my feelings. Somebody bothered me. Something that somebody said irritated me. It got on my nerves. See, that's all I, me. Instead of letting it pass. That's why the scriptures talk about how Christ, they called him the devil. They called him all kinds of names. He kept it moving. And, you know, in our journey for growth, even as you just become an adult, you become an older adult as you mature. And also then on top of that, in our spiritual journey that we all have to travel, one of the lessons we need to learn is how to let stuff go. They talk about letting something slide off your back, like off a back's duck. And the reason they use that analogy is because ducks are waterproof. So they sit in the water, but their feathers are so tight and packed together that the duck is waterproof. So that water doesn't bother them. And there are other birds like that too. But, you know, we have to really work on not always having to respond when someone tells us something, not always having to defend when someone says something about us. We don't have to always have a response for things. Sometimes we just need to move on because you're wasting more time trying to satisfy your own ego or your own sense of what you think should be done. The Most High is like, go out here and live life the way I told you to live life. Do what I told you you're supposed to do. He even put in the scriptures that folks are going to curse you. They're going to talk bad about you. They're going to do all kinds of stuff. You have to hold your post. Always remember this. And I really like this saying for the first time I ever heard it. Someone else's opinion of me has nothing to do with me. I'm going to say it again. Someone else's opinion of me has nothing to do with me. Someone can have an opinion about you, but that doesn't mean it's the truth. That's why I call it an opinion. That's how they feel about it. Now, and I'm sure it's pretty easy to understand, but I'm not going to assume everybody clicks and gets it immediately. Let me use this analogy. Let me use this example. Let's say, and we all have this, where we have a food that we like to eat, but someone else doesn't like. I do not like Brussels sprouts. I can't stand Brussels sprouts. If the Most High decided we're going to eliminate Brussels sprouts from the earth, that would be fine with me. My feelings would not be hurt. I might even march up and down cheering. But the thing is, I recognize other people like Brussels sprouts. So when I'm out to lunch or I'm out to dinner or I'm at someone's home and there are Brussels sprouts there and that person wants to eat Brussels sprouts, that has nothing to do with me. As long as they're not trying to make me eat them, as long as they're not piling them on my plate, that has nothing to do with me. I don't like Brussels sprouts. Now, I'll have some green beans or some peas or some. There are other things that I like, and that has nothing to do with them. And so that's what we have to understand. And that's what David's trying to express here. You know, we get, and in fact, now is a great time to see this, where, you know, everyone's involved in all this political talk. And they talk about, you know, there's Kamala and Trump. And they want to give their opinions about, well, she hasn't done this and he hasn't done that. And, you know, people have their opinions. And see, everybody's throwing out opinions. But opinions are not what gets the job done. And in our situation, opinions are not going to, it's not going to put food on the table. It's not going to put a roof over your head. It's just an opinion. And that's what David was here saying, look, so what if he curses us? That ain't got nothing to do with us. Let's just keep moving. And so sometimes in life, you have to learn how to just keep moving. Because what happens is all that stuff sidetracks you from the point, sidetracks you from your purpose. We have to stay focused on the goals that we've set and the things that we need to do, the expectation that the Most High has for us. We need to stay focused on that and not worry about what somebody else said or did. Not worry about how that person feels about it. We have to stay on this journey for constant self-improvement and to improve our situations and circumstances. So we're at 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13. And as David and his men went by the way, Shemaiah went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went. So David and his men were going, it's a slow, keep in mind, he's got hundreds of people with him, you know, hundreds of men with him. So it's slow moving. It's not, we're not galloping horses or a chariot where they're going, yeah, yeah. And they're really going fast. They're walk, it's basically a walking pace. And so this dude is over along the side. So they're going down the road. He's on the other side of the road, walking along and throwing rocks and cursing them. Okay. And as David and his men went, oh, by the way, Shemaiah went along the hill's side over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dung. So he's even throwing cow cookies, as they call them, cow patties at him. Verse 14, and the king and all the people that were with him became weary and refreshed themselves there. So it had been, you know, they had been out marching, walking along for a while. It was time to take a break. They had taken a rest break. And verse 15, and Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. Remember, that was David's former, or one of David's counselors. Verse 16, and it came to pass when Hushai, the Archite, David's friend, was come unto Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king. God save the king. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend? So Absalom's like, why didn't you go with my dad? He was your friend. Why didn't you go with him? And Hushai said unto Absalom, nay, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, will I be, and with him will I abide. And again, who should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son, as I have served in thy father's presence? And so will I be in thy presence. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. So Hushai did what David asked. He went down and he did some slick talking, some smooth talking, and he managed to work his way into a position of counselor, because that way he can hear what's going on, what the plans are, and then he can relay that information to David. And so then Absalom turned to Ahithophel and said, give me some counsel. What should I do? What do I do now? Verse 21, and Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So he told Absalom, listen, go in there and lay with David's concubines. Because then when Israel hears word that you slept with his concubines, they're going to know, oh, Absalom, his father David, hates him. And so then the people that are following you, their hand will be stronger. Their position will be stronger than what it was. Now, this is horrible advice because it's outside of what the Most High told us we're supposed to do. But that's what I was saying earlier, is that our people, most of the time, they didn't listen to what the Most High wanted us to do. That's why it puts us in a situation where we're in today. Because they didn't listen, they didn't follow, they didn't do what the Most High told them to do. Verse 22. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. So they went to David, the roof of David's house, put a tent up there, and then David was with the concubines up inside of that tent. So then all Israel knew, oh, Absalom done laid up there with David's concubines. Okay, this is just some foul business. Verse 23. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. So basically, Ahithophel was so intelligent, so wise, he gave such great counsel that when he gave counsel, it seemed like he had spoken directly to the Most High to get the information, the answers that he gave for both David and for both Absalom. Now, also keep in mind that this refers back to when David slept with Bathsheba, because the Most High told him through Nathan, he said, you know, I'm going to fix it so that you, someone, I'm going to raise up someone in your own household to come up against you. You ain't going to be at peace. I'm going to have somebody in your own household sleep with your wives and come up in, and take over your own household. So this was foretold. We went over that a few weeks ago, the prophecy of that. And now we're starting to see the fulfillment of it. 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 1. Now, look, I know I keep repeating it, but it's worth repeating. We see here that now on top of what we talked about earlier about, you know, the dramas that we find in life, the dramas that we go through, the dramas that we see other people go through, or you see on these reality TV shows and all these, in fact, real life situations on some of these shows and documentaries and things, that what we're watching here is a son rebelling against his father and raising up an army against his father, and his father leaving the city and running off into exile while the son sleeps with his concubine. I mean, this stuff is just trash. It's a trash novel, is what it is. That's the kind of stuff you get out of a trashy novel. But this was real life. And so don't ever think that whatever you're going through is some unique stuff or is brand new stuff. This kind of stuff was taking place. And keep in mind that the Most High loved David. And that's another thing. People tell, well, my God loves me. He'll never let me go through nothing. Are you kidding? He still, even though the Most High loved David, because of that love, he still had David go through some things. He had to face consequences based upon his own actions. Even David had to deal with that. Excuse me. So if David, being someone whom the Most High loves and who the Most High chose, if he has to face consequences for the bad choices that he made, for the poor choices he made, for the rebelliousness that he displayed toward the Most High, for his stubbornness, for breaking the law and sinning, if he had consequences to suffer based on that, what makes us think that we get out of it, we get away scot-free? So often people, situations happen, and people will say, I don't understand why God's making this happen to me, or God's letting this happen to me. Really? Well, it's possible that you need to go through your own records and see what's there. Go through your own file book and see what's there. And find out that, you know, your conduct has the potential to create a situation for you where the Most High has to teach you a lesson, or whether you're finding out consequences based on your actions. And so that's why we constantly have to perform self-assessment. We have to constantly be aware of ourselves and constantly be on top of ourselves to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing in the way we're supposed to be doing it. And that we're continually striving to meet the expectations and perform the expectations that the Most High has for us so that we can avoid these kinds of pitfalls. Because this is not anything anyone would want to go through. 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 1. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. So Ahithophel's like, listen, give me 12,000 men. We're going to chase David down. Verse 2. And I will come upon him while he is very weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee. And I will smite the king only. See, now here he is. He's conspiring to kill David. And yet when Saul died, David killed the guy who thought he was tough enough to kill Saul. He didn't consider Saul as being the Most High's appointed, anointed, and chosen one. Verse 3. And I will bring back all the people up unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned. So all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel hath spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou. So he called Hushai, and he said, look, this is what Ahithophel told me. Do you agree with that? Or do you think we should do something different? If you disagree with it, let me know now. Speak now. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. For, said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds, as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war, and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he is hid now in some pit, or in some other place. And it will come to pass, when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. So he told Absalom, look, if you do this thing, understand that your father and his men, first of all, they're upset because you run them up out of the city. So their egos are hurt, and they're upset and frustrated about that. Plus, these are men of war. They've got experience in battle. And then he said that David ain't even staying where the people are staying. So you're going to get down there and think you have David. He ain't even going to be with him. He's somewhere else sleeping. Verse 11, 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 11. Therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee, from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person. So he said, listen, what you need to do is send out messengers throughout all the land and gather the people. And gather the people and get ready for a battle. You gather all these men, these mighty men, so that you go in with this serious army. And then he also said, but at the same time, you go with them. You go in person. Don't just send somebody. You got to go there in person to lead them. Verse 12. So shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon them as the dew falleth on the ground. And of him and of all the men that are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he be gotten into a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city, and we will draw it into the river until there be not one small stone found there. And Absalom and all the men of Israel, said, the counsel of Hushai, the Archite, is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. So all the people listened and said that Hushai's wisdom is greater than Ahithophel. But that's because the Most High behind the scenes wanted to make sure that he discredited Ahithophel. That's essentially what he was doing, so that he could bring down punishment on Absalom. Verse 15. Then said Hushai unto Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have they counseled. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed at En-Rogel, for they might not be seen to come into the city. And a wench went and told them, and they went and had told King David. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. But they went, both of them, very quickly. They went, both of them, away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim, which had a well in his court, whither they went down. So basically, the two of them were in the city, but they were trying not to get caught. And so when the word came out, the little boy saw them, or somebody saw them, and went down and saw a lad. Yeah, so the little boy saw him and told Absalom, listen, they're here in the city. And so they were on the run. And so in order to not get caught, they jumped into this dude's well. They actually went down into the well. Because people don't think that, okay, we're hunting for somebody. They're going to jump down inside the well. That's not part of what they do. So they jumped down into the well. Verse 19, and the woman took and spread covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn thereon, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman to the house, they said, where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan? And the woman said unto them, they be gone over the brook of water. And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, after they were departed, that they came up out of the well and went and told King David, and said unto David, arise and pass quickly over the water, for thus hath Ahithophel counseled against you. So they managed to make it to David. This is some espionage type stuff, because Jonathan and his men went out to go chase him, and they couldn't find him. And so they were down the well, and the woman covered the well up and put corn on it so that they didn't recognize it or see it, and they weren't going to look down there. She said, oh, they took off that away. And so that's when Jonathan and them chased after them, didn't catch them, and just wound up going back to Jerusalem. And we're in verse 22. So when they got the message to David, and they said, listen, you got to get up and go now because Absalom's going to be coming. Ahithophel gave counsel about them coming to get you. Verse 22. Then David arose and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan. By the morning light, there lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. So see, Ahithophel killed himself because he was so bitter about his counsel wasn't being listened to. And when David came to Mahanaim and Absalom passed over Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab, which Amasa was a man's son whose name was Ithrah, an Israelite, that went in to Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister to Zeruiah, Joab's mother. So Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. And it came to pass, when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobi, the son of Nahash, of Rabbah, the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel, of Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogalim. They brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in this wilderness. Now, and again, I'm sorry, my voice is going, this allergies are kind of getting funky. But the thing is, as we're reading this here, so David took off over the Jordan River. And, you know, because they're on the run. But it came to pass, he was come to Mahanaim, and Shobi of the children of Ammon, so it was a whole other nation, and Machir, and so all these people came out, and they said they brought beds and basins, and basins, you know, basins are like a water basin which you washed your face in. They didn't just have sinks back in those days. So a basin was what you washed your face in. And earthen vessels, they had containers. Because remember, they made the containers out of clay back in those days. Why clay? Because earth, because dirt is plentiful. You know, so they made them out of clay, and they brought in all these different, with food and things for them to eat, because they're parched. They're hungry. They've been on the move all this time. It says parched corn and beans and lentils, and then it talks about, and cheese for kine, a cheese of kine. Kine is beef, basically. So it's cow cheese. But they're bringing in all these goodies and all these things for the people to eat and drink so that they can have nourishment. And it shows you these other nations, again, it goes back to the fact that David had, he had networked. It's not only did he have respect from the other nations, but they also brought goods. They fed them. They gave them beds, places to lay, places to stay. So David shows you that it was, there was opportunity for interaction with these other nations, with these people from other nations, so that, and it was for the benefit of his own people, to make sure that the people with him could survive, because not only is he a man with his son chasing them, but he's still a king too. So he still has to look out for his people in the best way he knows how. But the key to that is, the key in that statement is work. He had to take the action. They had to get up and go and deal. And as bad as he may feel about the fact that his own son's the one that's causing all this turmoil, doesn't matter. He's still got to keep it moving. He can focus on all that later. Right in the moment, he has to deal with the situation that he and the people he's leading are in. And what can he do to help get them out of that situation? We're in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. And David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai, the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. But the people answered, Thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us, neither if half of us die, will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 men, 10,000 of us. Therefore now it is better that thou succor us out of the city. When the king said unto them, What seemeth you best I will do. So the people were like, listen, David was like, I'm getting ready. I'm going to come with y'all. We're going to go out here and handle our business. And the people were like, nah, David, don't do that, because if you're out in the field, they're not going to care about us. But they're going to do everything they can to get at you. And so we need you to chill out with that thought. Cut that noise. And David said to them, you know what? Whatever you counsel, I'll do. Whatever is best, whatever y'all say, I will listen. And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out by hundreds and by thousands. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, Deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. So David said to the three captains, he split his army into three different groups. He divided them into three, and each of the captains, he told them, listen, go easy on Absalom for my sake. He said, go easy on Absalom. They said, okay, and they were being sent. And so they were getting ready to go to war. And everyone at that point, everyone heard what he said to the captains. They heard them say, go easy on Absalom. Verse 6, so the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David. And there was a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men. The battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. And Absalom met the servants of David. And Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of an oak tree. And his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth. And the mule that was under him went away. Now, keep in mind that when we first read about Absalom, it talked about how heavy his hair was, how he cut his hair once a year. Basically, Absalom had a big old fro. He had a huge fro. And as he was riding on his horse, his hair got caught on a tree. And so he's hanging off of this tree by his hair. He's hanging off a branch by his hair. And, of course, the horse rides off. So he's literally hanging off of a tree because it won't let go of his hair. It's caught, it tangles all up in his hair. Verse 10. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in a tree. And Joab said unto the man that told him, And behold, thou sawest him, and why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver at a girdle. And the man said unto Joab, Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, yet would I not put forth my hand against, put forth my hand again. Let me read that again. Verse 12. And the man said unto Joab, though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware that none touches the young man Absalom. Two things there. Number one is, you know, Joab was like, why didn't you kill him? If you saw him, why didn't you kill him? I would give you a bonus of 10 shekels. But the man said, you could give me 1,000 shekels and I still wouldn't touch the king's son, because we all heard the king tell y'all, the captains of the armies, we heard the king tell y'all to go easy on him and not to touch him. The other part is, you see how God stumbled upon some of the words. It happens. So don't be discouraged. Even if you're not the best reader, don't be discouraged. Take your time. Don't get frustrated if the words don't come out right and you have to read it a couple of times. That happens. So we're in 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 13. Otherwise, I should have wrought falsehood against my own life. For there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me. So he's saying, listen, there's no way in the world you could give me 1,000 shekels and I wasn't going to disobey the king. And we all heard what he told y'all about nobody touching his son Absalom. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. He said, listen, I ain't got time for all this. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. See, Joab was like, listen, I ain't got time for this. And he took 3 arrows, or 3 darts, excuse me, stuck them in the heart of Absalom. Verse 15, and 10 young men that bear Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing Israel, for Joab held back the people. So Joab was like, now stop chasing them. This is over. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood and laid a very great heap of stones upon him. And all Israel fled, everyone to his tent. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name. And it is called unto this day Absalom's place. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. And thou shalt bear tidings another day, but this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushi, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushi bowed himself to Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but whosoever let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushi. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? So Ahimaaz was like, well, listen, send me with Cushi. But then Joab was like, look, what are you going to tell him? You have nothing. There's no message for you to take. Verse 23, but howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushi. And David sat between the two gates And the watchman went up to the roof, over the gate, and onto the wall. David sat between two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof, over the gates, onto the wall, and lifted up his eyes, and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running along, alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, me thinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against the Lord, against my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom saved? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servants and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not. When Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. So David sitting in the gates of the city, and the watchman in the tower above him yelled down, saying, hey, there's a guy who's running. He has nothing in his hands. And then he said, David said, oh, that's good. His message is oral. He's going to talk to us. He's going to tell us what he has to say. He doesn't have a letter. And then a couple minutes later, they see somebody else running by himself. So they call down and say that, and they say he's holding something. So David said, well, then his message is in writing. And so in the meantime, David's having this conversation with him as, you know, what's going on? And so he's giving him the information that he has and the news he has. And when David asked about Absalom, then he said, well, the Joab sent the other guy, and he also sent me. But when I was sent, when I was coming, I noticed there was stuff going on, a commotion, but I don't know exactly what took place. I didn't see it. So David told him, well, stand here with me. Turn aside, stand here, and we'll see what's going on. So verse 30 again, chapter Samuel, chapter 18, verse 30. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushi came. And Cushi said, tidings, my lord, the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushi, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushi answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against them to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. So the king said, is Absalom alive? And he said, listen, all your enemies and everybody that rise against you to do you wrong, they wound up the same way he is right now. Verse 33, and the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. So the king went up and mourned right then and there about Absalom, the information, the word of Absalom getting killed. 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 1. And it was told Joab, behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people. For the people heard say that how the king was grieved for his son. And the people got them by stealth that day into the city, as people being ashamed, steal away when they flee in battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, Oh, my son, Absalom, my son. And Joab came into the house to the king and said, thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which this day have saved thy life and the lives of thy sons and of thy daughters and all the lives of thy wives and the lives of thy concubines. In that thou lovest thine enemies and hatest thy friends. For thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all we had died this day, then it had pleased thee well. So Joab's upset, and he's basically telling David, listen, you're over here crying for your enemy, your son, attempted a coup and was willing to kill you, and now you're crying over him, but we put our lives in jeopardy so that we could save you and save the kingdom. Verse 8, then the king arose and Gat, verse 7, 2 Samuel 19 and 7. Now therefore arise, go forth and speak comfortably unto thy servants. For I will swear by the Lord, if thou go not forth, then there will not tarry one with these this night. There will not tarry one with thee this night. And that will be worse unto thee than all the evil that befell thee from my youth until now. So Joab was really upset. He was letting him know, listen, you better go out there and pay some respect to the people that are out there defending you. Then the king arose and sat in the gate. And they told him, and they told unto all the people, saying, behold, the king doth sit in the gate. And all the people came before the king, for Israel had fled every man to his tent. And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, the king saved us out of the hand of the Philistines. And now is he fled out of the land for Absalom. And Absalom, who we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now, therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back? And King David sent to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, saying, speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, why are ye the last to bring me the king, to bring the king back to his throne? Seeing the speech of all Israel has come to the king, even to his house. Yea, ye are my brethren, and ye are my bones and my flesh. Wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king? So he went to the elders, and he's like, why did y'all come out to meet me? I'm your brother. Why haven't you come out to bring me back until we can reunite Israel and get things back on track? And see, that he confronted them because, keep in mind, that's what the Most High wants, is the nation gathered. So he's like, look, we've got our land. We've got our system set up. This chaos happened, but y'all haven't closed that door on this. It's still stuff lingering out here. And until, you know, you have to take steps to bring the king back so that things can get back on track. Second Samuel chapter 19 and verse 13. And say ye to Amasa, art thou not of my bone and of my flesh? God do so to me, and more also, if thou be not captain of the hosts before me continually in the room of Joab. And he bowed the heart of all men to Judah, of all men of Judah, even as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word unto the king, return thou and all thy servants. So the king returned and came to Jordan, and Jordan came to Gilgal to go out to meet the king. To conduct the king over Jordan. So he sent word. They said, you know, come on back. And he's talking to the men of Judah. And so now they're starting to come out to meet him and bring him back home because he's out in the wilderness. Verse 16. See, in today's society, you know, it's like when you look on the news and you see the president's on Air Force One, they say, oh, the president landed. And they'll show him, and they'll show him land, and then there's the red carpet going down the stairs. They come down the stairs, there's a red carpet. But it's this big, big ordeal. This big thing goes on whenever he travels. And so we're looking at King David where he was out in the wilderness. And so, of course, he's coming on chariot or on horseback, whichever he was doing at the time. But it just shows you that's all of that because it's the king represents the kingdom. And so if he's made to be uncomfortable and made to have to run away, then it looks bad upon the nation. It looks bad upon the people. And so the people should want him to be back where he's supposed to be and not out suffering out in the wilderness any longer than he has to. We are in 2 Samuel 19. 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 16. And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Baharim, hasted and came down with his men of Judah to meet King David, or with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him. And Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons, and his 20 servants with him. And they went over the Jordan before the king. Verse 18. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household, and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. As he crossed the Jordan River, then they all came out to greet him, or there were some that came out to greet him, and said unto the king, let not my lord impute iniquity unto me. Neither do thou remember that which they servant did perversely, the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? And David said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? Therefore the king said unto Shimei, thou shalt not die. And the king swear unto him. Because remember, Shimei was throwing rocks and cursing at him and stuff. Verse 24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until the day he came back again in peace. He came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest? Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? Then he said, How come you didn't go with me? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon, and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. So, and keep in mind, Mephibosheth was Saul's son. And when Saul got killed, there were those who came to his house to kill all, because they wanted to kill all of Saul's household, get rid of all the people who worked in Saul's household, who lived and were either related or worked for him. And one of the servant women grabbed Mephibosheth and was running with him and fell down. And so she messed up his foot. It broke his foot. So that's why he wasn't having any shoes. Let's see. So when he said, he answered verse 26, and he answered, My Lord, verse 24, which says, And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, so he didn't have his shoes on, nor trimmed his beard, so he hadn't shaved, nor washed his clothes, so he's dirty and dusty, from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. Verse 28, For all my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right, therefore, have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, Thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own land. His own house, I'm sorry. And Barzilla, the Gileadite, came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzilla was a very aged man, even 80 years old. And he had provided the king sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzilla, Come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzilla said unto the king, How long have I to live, that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old. 80. He's 80. A score is 20. So 80 is 4 times 20, which is 80. And can I discern between good and evil? Can my servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto the Lord thy king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king. And why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Kimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do unto him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered Shimham. And the Lord answered, Shimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzilla and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Shimham went on with him. And all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said unto the king, why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stole thee away and have not brought the king and his household and all David's men with him over Jordan? And all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, because the king is near of kin to us. Wherefore then be ye angry for this matter? Why are you mad about this? Have we eaten at all of the king's costs? Or have he given us any gift? And the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, we have 10 parts in the king, and we have also more right in David than ye. Why then did ye despise us, that our advice should not be first and had in bringing back our king? And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. So now they got to arguing about who was supposed to be the one, why the king didn't, or why they didn't call the men of Israel to bring the king back, and how we have more claim on the king than you do. And so now the men of Judah and the men of Israel are arguing amongst each other about this. See, and that's not the stuff they need to be arguing about. Frankly, they need to praise the Most High that the king is still alive and that we can bring him back to Jerusalem. That's what the most important part of it is. And it was not about who has more rights, who has more entitlement to. That's all, again, like we said before, that's all that egotistical foolishness that they get caught up in, that has no place in any of that. And there's no reason for it. And so there's the story of David and Absalom, and in regards to how Absalom had not only killed his half-brother, David's other son, or one of David's other sons, but then how Absalom went on and spent years usurping David's authority and laying down this groundwork so that he could rebel against David, and almost succeeded. Almost, because we know the Most High has his hands in everything. I hope you've all enjoyed the class we taught today. The next chapter is kind of a short chapter, but it's going to take longer than we have. And I certainly don't want to have to rush through. Again, I appreciate y'all taking the time to listen. We'll continue on with 2 Samuel. When we finish with Samuel, we may move somewhere else. I'm going to see what the Spirit of the Most High. We only have a little bit. We might be able to finish Samuel next week. We'll see how it goes. We may move into Kings. We may go to somewhere else. We'll all see what the Spirit of the Most High wants us to do. I do appreciate y'all spending the time, and I hope y'all have a great week. Be strong. Remember, turn off the radio, turn off the TV, turn off all this stuff, put the phone down for a little bit, meditate on the Most High, pray to the Most High, be grateful to the Most High, develop your relationship with the Most High. I wish you all well. I wish you all peace, and the Most High willing, we'll see each other next week, or we'll hear each other next week. And Shalom.